First of all, let me say to someone who left some strawberries on my car Wednesday night, I have thoroughly enjoyed my cereal every morning with those strawberries. They're very, very good. I imagine they're South Carolina, since that's the only place you can get them. But to the one who left them, thank you so much for that. If you would, where's Pam?
I saw her.
Never mind, I see her. If you would, turn to Genesis. Genesis. Chapter 3. While you're turning there, I'm going to read a verse in chapter 1. You don't need to turn there. I'm just going to read the one verse. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now in chapter 3, that which God had made and was very good changes. Look, if you will, at chapter 2, verse 6. Chapter 2 and verse 6. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. We call that the law. That's God's law. Now, we know that not only is there a law, but there's a penalty for breaking it. Look, if you will, at verse 1 of chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? In other words, what he was saying was, now come on. God didn't really say that. You see, that's why it starts out by saying he was subtle. We just finished up the book of Jude, and it talked about apostasy, and we said that apostasy occurs when men creep in. Remember I said they don't come in with a big sign on them, you know, I'm an apostate and I'm here to pull you away. Satan didn't come into the garden with a big sign on saying, now listen, I'm here to get you to break God's law. No, he said, now, come on. God didn't say that, really, did he? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. That's true, wasn't it? But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Hell's full right now of people who believe that. I don't say that with glee, I can assure you that. God knows my heart. I don't say that with glee. I say that with truthfulness. there is a consequence to breaking the law of God. The law of God is unchangeable. May I say that to you? The law of God is unchangeable. He says, I am God, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Therefore, His law doesn't change. Everyone in this room today is under the law of God. Everyone in this world today is under the law of God. A child is born into sin because man broke God's law. And there's consequences for it. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave to her husband, and he did eat. And all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, instantaneously, they realized what? They were naked. Didn't realize that before because there was no good and evil with them. Everything that God made, it said, was very good. But you see, they broke God's law. God's law is what's evil. I mean, breaking God's law is what's evil. God's law is good, folks. There's nothing wrong with God's law. God's law is perfect. That's why, hey, if you can keep God's law, you don't need to be saved. Because God's law is perfect. If they hadn't eaten that tree, guess where they'd be today? They'd be in the Garden of Eden. Why were they thrown out of the Garden of Eden? Why were they thrown out of the Garden of Eden? That's a question. No, I'll tell you why they were thrown out of the Garden of Eden. Because it goes on to say, now listen, now if they eat of the tree of life, they're going to live forever. Can't heaven live them forever in that state? You know what I see there? Mercy. I mean, after all, who would want to live forever in this God-forsaken place? Getting older and more feeble and weaker and worse. Your eyesight goes away. Your hearing goes away. Your hair goes away. You get bigger and bigger. Your energy goes away. And you live forever like that. What causes that? Sin. The curse of sin causes it all, folks. And God in His mercy said, I got to get them out of here. Lest they eat of that tree and live forever. And so He put them out. Follow me on this, please. He put them out. And He put cherubims at the entrance. No one since could enter back into paradise. That's the consequence of breaking His law. His mercy endureth forever. Aren't you glad for that? He put us out. But he said, I got a plan. I'm going to bring you back in. I'm going to bring you back when you can eat of the tree of life, when you're without the sin, so that you can enjoy eternal life the way I intended it to be. And he says, I'll tell you how I'm going to do it. Thy seed shall hate his seed. Talking about Eve's seed and Satan's seed. They're going to hate each other. And his seed is going to bruise her seed, heel. But her seed is going to bruise his head. Now, anybody ever had a, what do you call it, a heel bruise? Now, do you want to teach this or you want me to?
You asked the question.
I've had a heel bruise, you know, where you step on a stone.
Therefore.
And it hurts. It's painful. But you know what it won't do? It won't kill you. I used to know a guy named Wade Bird. Anybody ever heard of bird logging?
Yeah.
Charlie Bird. Charlie raced cars. And when I was in the car business, I would give him money occasionally to put my name on his race car, you know, sponsors. Not a lot, but I would give him enough to get my name on it. And I'd go down to Bull's Gap, you know, and watch the races, see my name on the car and all that. We had a brother named Wade. You talk about a rough guy. I mean, he was a logger, and he was tough. And that place every Saturday night broke out into, you know, went to a car race and the fight broke out. Or went to a fight and the car race broke out. But anyway, they get into it. Well, this old guy pulled a gun on him. He said, well, you better pull that trigger, because I'm going to get out of this truck. And when I do, I'm going to beat you half to death. And, you know, he did. He got out of that truck, took that gun away from that old boy, and like killed him. So I saw him later on. My wife and I were sitting there, and we went to North Carolina to another race, and my wife and I were sitting there, and Wade came by, and I said, Wade, come here a minute. I got to ask you about this. I said, do you remember, and I told him about the incident down at Bull's Gap, you know. I said, do you remember? He said, oh, yeah, I remember. I said, well, wasn't you afraid that guy's going to shoot you? And I'm telling you, just as stone-faced as he could be, he said, well, they can shoot you, but they can't eat you. Now, that's the kind of guy you don't want to mess with. But my point is this. You can get a stone bruise on your heel, and you might have trouble walking, but it won't kill you. But you let somebody take a hammer and hit you in the head and bruise your head enough, it'll kill you. And that's what he was saying. Oh, I'm going to hurt. I'm going to suffer. The seed of the woman is going to be in pain. But the seed of the serpent is going to die. Big difference. He was talking about Calvary. He was talking what it would take for man to get back in to paradise. He's talking about what it would take for man to know what it is to live eternally, sinlessly, like he intended. Now look, if you will, at Isaiah 53. And while you're turning there, does anyone recall the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation? If you don't, say no. If you do, say yes. In the fifth chapter of Revelation, it talks about the throne. And it talks about them looking for someone who could take the scroll from him that sat upon the throne and break the seals. You remember that now? And John, now you have to understand, now John, by the Spirit, he's been taken up, right? Well, let me tell you something. From heaven's view, you don't just see forward, and you don't just see present. You see past. And John, in the Spirit now, he's up here. And John now is taken back. He's taken back to when that happened in the garden. And he knows that that scroll represents man getting back into that garden where God has put the seraphims to keep him out. He knows that. And when they say, is there anyone that can take this from him who sits upon the throne and break the seals? And no one comes forward. And what happens?
John cries.
Huh?
He weeps bitterly.
Why?
Because?
Why would he weep bitterly?
There was no one to be found.
Oh, listen, he realizes, hey, unless somebody can take that scroll from the Father's hand on the throne, we can't get back in there. We don't have eternal life. He will not let us have eternal life in a sinful state. It must be sinless like he planned. And he begins to weep, and all of a sudden someone, I don't know who it was, but someone says, John, don't weep. Weep not. Look over here. Behold the Lamb. Aren't you glad for that? Don't you realize if that lamb's not standing there, we're not going back into that garden? And if we don't get back into that garden, folks, we don't have life. Because it's inside the garden where the tree of life is. If you don't believe me, just read Revelation 22, I believe it is, where it says there's a tree in the midst that gives out its fruit every month. And it's for the healing of the people. But it's there. We can't get to it on our own. And so the Lamb is shown. And in Isaiah 53, the Lamb is shown there. He's called the Root. And here's what it says. Whoa. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? In other words, now I made me a note in my Bible. Here's what I wrote. I don't know when I wrote this now, but I've written it at some point. Who will believe? Who will receive? Who will stand on the promise? Who will be saved? By what I am about to say. That's what it's saying. Who will believe our report? Who's going to believe me this morning that we broke the law? The penalty for breaking the law was getting thrown out of eternal life. The mercy of God is about getting us back into the garden where there is eternal life, sinless eternal life. Who's going to believe that report? Who's going to believe that this is going to be how it's done? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. What do you think that means, as a root out of a dry ground? What do you think that means? Do you make notes in your Bible?
I do.
Make one right there. Virgin birth. That's how he's going to be born, of a virgin. That's what it's talking about. That's how God came into the world. Why does it have to be a virgin birth? Because every person that's born not of virginity is born into sin. Well, he can't come sinful. He's got to come sinless. And so he says, not for himself, by the way. For us. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised. Was he?
Yes.
Is he?
Yes.
rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne... Notice the pronouns here. In this day of, hey, you know, in this day where pronouns are such a big thing. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was... of our peace was upon him, and with the with his stripes we are healed. Do you not? You're the only one, Tracy, that's paying attention. Do you not understand it's all about us here? Everything he's going through is about you and Stacy and others. We're the ones outside the garden. He can go inside the garden anytime he wants to because he's sinless and he's eternal. But this is about us getting back there. It's about his immeasurable love for us. It's about his mercy for us. It's about his grace on us. It's about God doing it for us. Imagine what he went through. The beating, the mockery, the hatred for us. It's the only way back. It's the only way you ever see eternal life. It's the only way. It's God's way. I am the way, he said. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by... Well, where's the Father? Well, the Father's in the garden. You say, Tom, hey, you know that. He said, well, he come every day and walked in the evenings with them. I think, bless God, that's where he's at. He said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe also in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it not so, I told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you can be. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You'll never be in his presence sinful. Never. It's not possible. Therefore, that means that when you and he are together, why do you think Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? Well, he's not talking about sinful man there. He's talking about a child of God, a saint of God. And when you leave this world, you're going back to the garden, bless God. What did he say to the thief on the cross? This day, not tomorrow, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's how much he loves us. And that's how much he's worthy of our praise this morning. That's how much he's worthy of our adoration this morning. That's how much he's worthy of our worship, because he did it all for us. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. He died for us. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit. Not the first taint of sin was found in or on this man. He was sinless. But he became sin so that we could become sinless. That's why it talks about him being our substitute. Here we are as sinful man. Here he is as sinless God. And he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to come over here and I'm going to take your place. so that you can come over here and take mine. No wonder the Bible says there is no God likened unto him. Who else could do that for you, Stacy? Who else would do that for you? He made his grave with the wicked, named with the transgressors, hung with two thieves. And with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. All these things that it talks about that he wasn't, we were. All these things that it talks about that he isn't, we are. That's why we were kicked out. He didn't have to make a way for you, Becky, to go back. He just said, hey, you had your chance. You blew it. No, that's not who he is. That's not who he is. I don't know about you. I'm glad he's not. I'm glad he's not. I'm glad Vernon this morning is with him. I told little Diane, I said, honey, he's just fine. He's just fine. I know we say that, but folks, we got to believe that. He's just fine. Now, if you're lost, you ain't just fine. And you ain't never going to be just fine. Because guess what? Those two seraphims are still there. You ain't going back in there unless you go his way. And he is the door. He said, I'm the door. Anybody enters in by me, he'll enter into the pasture and go in and out and find green pasture. But you don't go by him, you ain't going. It's that simple. Now, what do we call that? Well, grace is true, but we have a five-letter word for that. It starts with a G. You were on a good track. And the second letter's O. And the next letter's S. Well, wouldn't you say that's good news? Wouldn't you say it's good news that you're dead but you can be alive? Wouldn't you say it's good news that you're sinful but you can be sinless? Wouldn't you say it's good news that you have no life but you can have eternal life? Wouldn't you say that's good news? That's why it's called the gospel. It's called the gospel in the Old Testament, and it's called the gospel in the New Testament for a reason. It's the gospel. Romans chapter 1 says it's the gospel according to his Son. Without the Son, there's no good news. If the Son don't come and go through what I'm reading, bad news. Bad news. But there's good news. Yet it pleased the Lord, and this I've never, listen, I'll read this thing and I couldn't tell you how many times I've read it. And I still shiver when I read it. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. I want you to think about that. How many's got a son? Love that boy, don't you? You 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 love that boy, don't you? Would you bruise him for a neighbor that's done every vile thing in the world against you? Would you say, I tell you what, neighbor, I'll beat this boy to death for you? That's what he did. That's what it says. It pleased him to kill that boy. And I say that boy with all the respect in the world. God knows my heart. But the Father, he took his son upon the mountain just like Abraham took his son. But there wasn't any ram in the thicket. Because there wasn't anything else but the boy that could buy you sin debt, son. Nothing else gets it done. We can't go back to the garden if he don't do it. You remember, Abraham raised his arm. And a voice came and said, no, don't. My words. Behold. And there was a ram in the thicket. A substitute. But God didn't get a substitute for his son. He gave him. Into thy hands I commend my spirit, oh God. And he gave up the ghost. He just sent his spirit away. Why? It was the only way. Do you know what happened? You say, Tom, the veil was rent. You know what else happened? The seraphims dropped their fiery swords. You know why? Now there's a way back in where there wasn't before. Wouldn't you call that good news? Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make a soul, his soul an offering for sin. Now the word soul there simply means body. You remember what Jesus said? He said, my body, this take, eat, this is my broken body. And the word soul means body. And so he says, he offered for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasures of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his body and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified with God. And the previous verse talks about his resurrection. He says, therefore, being justified, we have peace with God. You know what that means, don't you? That means you're no longer God's enemy. You're at peace with him. You have his peace, and you're at peace with him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Otherwise, you're his enemy. You know, there's not a lot in this life I'm certain of. But there's one thing I'm very certain of. You don't want to be God's enemy. He don't lose. He's like that fighter last night that hit the guy so hard his teeth flew out. and he knocked him out. He didn't lose. He hadn't lost. God's never lost. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, because of that, will I divide him a portion with the great. He hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess. Let me tell you something. If you think it's a bad thing, you'd be right to reject the Son of God when God gave him for this. If you think he's going to love you, you are sadly mistaken. He loved the world so much that he gave his Son. But you reject his Son, and I'll show you somebody that's going to give you the wrath you never imagined in all your life. Hell. Man, hell is going to be bad. You know, it won't be anything to joke about. It won't be anything to make a joke of. It's God's wrath. It's God's vengeance as much as God's love. So he says, therefore I will divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors and bare the sin of many and made intercession for. What does he do right now? He sits at the right hand of the Father making. And Hebrews says, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost all them that come to God through him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession. If he's not interceding for you this morning, you are lost. It's that simple. It's not complicated. Now, you say, Tom, where are we going today? Well, we're going to Galatians. You say, well, why did you go through all that to go to Galatians? I'm just going to give you a couple verses and I'm done for today. Paul, an apostle, not of men. You know, I say it, and sometimes I'm sure people think I say it flippantly, but I don't. God knows my heart, I don't. When I say that whoever brings a message, I don't want to hear from them. I don't want to hear a message from man. I want to hear a man that has a message from God. Because only a message from God will help man. I mean, you can go to all the cemeteries you want to and get all the degrees, seminaries. You can get all the degrees that money can buy. You can be the most intelligent, educated. You can have written commentary after commentary on every book in the Bible, and it's not worth 5 cents to anyone if it's not God-breathed. And so Paul is saying, listen, I'm an apostle. I'm an ambassador of God. But I wasn't made an apostle by anybody. I didn't go up to Jerusalem to all the big religious muckety-mucks and them anoint me with something and make me an apostle. He says, it wasn't a man, nor was it by man, but by Jesus Christ. I'm going to put you right up here beside her. And God the Father, who raised him from... Did you notice how Paul quickly I mean, Paul introduces himself here, but boy, he's quickly getting away from himself. He said, listen, it's not by man, it's by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. So he's right off the bat, he said, now listen, my focus is not on me. My focus and my message is going to be about the Son. Otherwise, you can't get back in the garden if you don't know the Son. That's why in Romans 1, he introduces Romans by saying that he wants to give out the gospel, which is concerning the Son. There is no gospel without Christ, period. And so he says, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you, peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself and it goes on to say a specific reason who gave himself for our sins. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. The present evil world is on the wrong side of the flaming swords. Where is it that we want to be? On the right side of the flaming swords. We want to be where God intended us to be all along. And we want to be in the only place where God can place us, and that's in the garden. I've said so many times, if we know Christ, we are headed back to the garden. We are headed back to that place where he will come in the cool of the evening and talk with us. He can't do that outside the garden. You understand that, don't you? He can't communicate with us outside the garden. That's why he says he's come to deliver us from this present evil world. Listen, and you're in a person's sinful state, you can't communicate with God. You can't have any fellowship with God. You can't have any relationship with God. It has to be in the garden. And there's only one way to the garden now. Through the Son. It's the only way. That's why, hey, you can be religious as you want to be. You'll never see the garden unless you come through the Son. And he says, that's what I did. I come to pay for your sins and to deliver you from this present evil world. And then he says this, according to the will of God and our
Father.
Is that not flabbergasting to you? That God's will is to bring you back to that garden? Maybe I'm the only one in here that's got a past. Maybe I'm the only one in here that's got a history of sin. And to think that God's will, bless God, to give his Son so he could get me back into that place where there is no sin, where I can have constant fellowship with his Father and with the Son and through the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? To whom be glory And then this, and I'm done. I marvel, he said. I'm just jaw-dropped. I'm just flabbergasted. I am so frustrated. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that hath called you unto another gospel, which is not another gospel. I tried as best the Lord would let me to demonstrate to us this morning what it took to get us to where God would have us, and that's in the garden, through his Son. Only through his Son. And I said to you that that's the gospel. That's the good news. Yet here in Galatia, all of a sudden, they were leaving that. And Paul could not understand it. I'll pick up there next week.